Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. We are already in hour two. Where is the time going? Conrad, where's the time going?
I don't know.
You have the official clock over there, right?
I do.
The official Nightlight clock?
Yeah, I think it's running a little fast tonight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you're just joining us, folks, I have to let you know, Nightlight with Pete Chwaba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and pretty darn good beer, too. Join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. MinocquaBrewingCompany.com. Check it out. They are an official sponsor of Nightlight, which is awfully fun. See, I sponsor the show, but that doesn't mean as much.
Oh, I think it's very meaningful.
Do you think so?
I do. But
Conrad
doesn't
even sponsor the show.
You need to bring poetry to the table, though.
Oh, I like don't get me started. I got a couple haikus ready just in case. All right, we got to get to this because we're going to run out of time if we don't. I've been teasing this office trivia.
I'm getting nervous that I'm going to have stage fright and mess
you did
this
some
up.
Big
Conrad,
talking.
You might need to like help me out here.
I will try my best.
Okay.
See, because here's the thing, and I just want to say, preface this. When I was making this quiz, it's been a while probably since you've watched The Office. Yeah, and Conrad, it's fresh in his mind. So I said two questions. He got them both, but he's fresh. So I tried to do this. All right, so let's start. All right, this is Heather Heil, Director of Business Development for the Green Bay Children's Museum, taking the office trivia. She talked a lot of smack before.
That's what she said.
That's exactly what you said. Which office character, Conrad, you got the bell ready?
I do.
All right, enough fooling around. Exciting. Here we go. Which office character has a ham and cheese sandwich for lunch every day?
I want to say Jim, but it's not Jim. Is it Jim?
Despite your lack of confidence, it is Jim.
Because I wanted to go tuna fish because of the big tuna from the tuna sandwich. Remember the frozen? Okay, you might not be there yet, Conrad.
No, he's there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Andy says it, yeah.
The best thing is when Andy says to Jim, when he sees the girl in the break room at the Stanford office, he says, she's pretty good looking on. Jim says, yeah, he goes, steer clear, big tuna. She's crazy. Swim for open water.
Big tuna.
All right, here we go. Okay. Which office character took a challenge and punched Michael Scott in the stomach?
I believe that was Dwight.
Two for two. Oh, ladies and gentlemen,
I'm sweating though for real.
If you're not watching on the stream, you need to be because you could see the tension. All right.
Heather, I don't want to let you down.
Here's number.
Because I know people are listening going, come on.
No, listen, you could do an offer. And that just means that I've got total street cred when it comes to my office trivia test. Okay. Which office character is often teased about her height and has said she doesn't like to be titillated?
Ooh, I want to say Kelly, but it's not. It's going to be Angela.
Wow. Out of the gate, three for three. Heather Heil starting strong. This gutsy
don't get
kid
too
from
confident.
The streets of Green Bay. Fresh off her stint at the Children's Museum. Here we go. Which office character claims to never have owned a refrigerator, been a member of a cult, and also a leader of a cult?
That would be Creed.
It's got to be Creed.
That reeks of Creed.
Would you have got that if I had just said the refrigerator line?
Creed came into my mind right away, but I would have had to contemplate it for a little bit because it could have been kind of Dwighty.
It is. Yeah, that's okay. Good point. Mm-hmm. Which office member wrote the screenplay called Threat Level Midnight?
Michael Scott did.
All right, Conrad, are you keeping score? Four for four, right?
Do you know these, Conrad?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite episodes so far is when they're reading the screenplay.
Michael
it's
Scan?
So funny.
Is it right? Is it Scan?
Well, then they go to his improv class and he's shooting people. And the guy's like, I'm not even in the scene. All right, here we go. What was the issue behind Michael Scott pretending to fire Pam in season one? This is a tough one.
This is a tough one.
We may have to do multiple guests, Conrad, so get ready with some.
Yep.
Yeah, give me some multiple. I'm not going to know it off the.
Let's do three multiple. Go ahead, Conrad.
I want to say she wasn't hot enough, but.
That sounds like a Michael Scott.
It does.
That's not it.
But what are the multiple choice?
Let's. Do you want me to say different options and one?
Yeah, three. Yep. Make one of them the actual option. We both know what that is. But yes. Two. I can do it if you don't want to do it.
Okay. Yeah, you do it.
Okay. She stole a pencil holder, mm-hmm. stole sticky notes, or stole Michael's lunch out of the fridge.
Sticky notes. She stole sticky notes. Yep.
This is impressive. I don't know. Yep. This is great. Okay. Which Office character set Michael Scott up with her landlady on a blind date?
Oh. Oh. Landlady on a blind date.
It's one of my favorite episodes.
Actually. It's so funny.
It's so great and so horrible.
I keep thinking Pam's mom, but it's not Pam's mom. Who had a landlady that they set Michael up with?
Which Office character set Michael Scott up with her landlady on a blind date?
I don't know this answer.
Well, you've got, it's a she, so you've got like four or five characters.
I'm trying to think who had a Kelly?
I'm sorry, Kelly is not correct. Okay. Can we do a sad ding?
Yeah. Well, who else had a landlady?
Pam.
It was Pam.
Oh,
Pam set him up.
See,
and
Pam,
Michael was like just horrible. Yeah. And then he accidentally dialed Jan while he was on.
Okay. I don't remember that.
So horrible.
Yeah. It was,
they went to a date at a coffee shop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Michael's dating adventures. Yeah. I just automatically like feel Pam's always been married and.
Yeah. No, that was Pam. All right. So you're still, you're on a roll.
Okay.
Which Office character repeatedly beat Jim at ping pong?
Daryl?
Yes. Very impressive.
Ooh, she
Ladies
came back
and gentlemen,
strong.
Heather Heil is my guest, and she is crushing the Office quiz right now.
What do I win?
Like Conrad?
A stapler and Jell-O?
There's water.
Oh, good. Water.
We've got a bottle of water. I don't like to brag. I don't know what they're doing at the other radio stations in town, but we've got Kirkland bottled water.
We've got water.
In bulk. All right, so who... Joe Schwabe did the last Office quiz.
Yeah.
Did he get 100?
He got 100%.
Okay.
Oh, see.
But that one was a little easier, and he knows everything about the Office.
Oh, really?
I mean, maybe Conrad can run for his money.
Yeah,
after
okay.
Conrad's done, but. Okay, here we go.
These are great questions, though. You're stumping me.
Thank you very much. Heather Heil is here. Which Office character overshadowed Michael Scott's birthday because he was waiting for skin cancer test results?
Was it Toby? No, it wasn't Toby. No.
You can tell by the look on my face.
No, I'm like, because Toby ruins everything.
I know.
Skin cancer. Andy?
I'm sorry.
No.
Sad ring.
Sad another.
It's Kevin.
Kevin?
Kevin.
Yeah. I don't remember that. Oh.
What's happening? Okay, here we go. Moving on. You're still crushing it. You're still, you have a very high percentage.
Yeah, Kevin. Right. Like, we haven't talked about Kevin at all.
All right.
In the chili episode.
I tried to get somebody. Somebody,
there you go.
Okay. Whose phone did Jim Halpert take and throw into the heating duct because he was tired of hearing the ringtone over and over?
Dwight. Right?
Final answer?
Yeah, Dwight. No. Yeah, it's Dwight.
Ed Helms. It was Andy.
Oh, it was Andy's. Oh, yeah, because he had the tweedly delete.
That was the follow-up question was what was the song?
Yeah, I knew that one. So,
all right, she got another one wrong, so she's only got three wrong. This is a tough quiz. You got to ace your boards here, though. You ready to keep going?
Yep.
Okay. Who is Michael Scott referring to when he described a fellow regional boss as the poor man's Michael Scott? At least that is how he is known around my condo.
Oh, it's not.
You don't need a name. If you can give us the guy, if you can get close to the position, we'll accept
it's
that.
It's not the refrigeration guy. It's not the.
It's not Bob Vance. Who is Michael Scott referring to when he described a fellow regional boss of Dunder Mifflin as the poor man's Michael Scott?
I don't know.
I will give you a clue. Yeah. It is Jim Halpert's boss when he.
Oh, Deacon. It's not Deacon. I can't remember
Who's
his
Deacon?
Name.
I don't know.
Deacon
is
the guy who was with Raina James in the Nashville show. He's a singer. Yeah,
you
that's that
what?
Guy.
You started strong.
Yeah, what's his name? What was his character name? It was Deacon.
Josh from Stanford.
Yes. Anyone out there? Josh
All right,
is
we'll
Deacon.
Accept. We'll accept that. She's being a good sport. Okay. What is Michael Scott's most famous catchphrase?
That's what she said.
Which office character went number two on Michael Scott's office carpeting?
This guy might be my favorite. Why can't I think of his name? He drove the red sports car that had like an inappropriate license
yes.
plate number on it. He was in another movie. What was his character name?
His real actor name is, will that help you?
No.
Okay.
What was this? I can't say what I want to call him because it wasn't that. Tucker.
5 seconds.
Nope. I'm not going to get
Todd Packard.
Packard.
Yes.
Tucker. Tucker.
Tucker Packard.
Packard. Yes. Come on. I don't get it.
I'm just going to rejuvenate you. I'm going to motivate you here with the bell. You ready?
I need to do homework and watch some more Office, clearly.
You are not the Office scholar to call back to the new Utah hockey team.
Yep.
Okay. What is Dwight Schrute's middle initial?
Dwight K.
Wow.
Dwight K. Schrute beats Connor.
Take one of the other misses off there. Give her an extra point for that one. What did Michael Scott burn his foot on when he got out of bed one?
Waffle iron.
Can you be more specific?
It was a pancake maker.
Boxer.
Wasn't it a waffle iron? He was making eggs on it. He was making bacon. Bacon. Yeah. He was cooking bacon on it.
I will accept that. George Foreman Grill.
All right. Yep.
That's good. All right. Which Office character was in charge of picking a health plan in season one?
I'm not going to know that one. Season one is really foggy.
His middle name is K.
Dwight.
Yes.
Why was he picking it?
All right. We got to get through. Ooh. We got about a minute left here. We can do this. Here we go.
Go, go.
All right. What is Pam's last name? Beasley.
Beasley.
Who is the office temp?
The red-haired girl. Erin.
Oh, the office.
Oh, Ryan.
Yes! What character started her own candle business?
Kelly. No. Angela. No. I'm just going to keep
Michael
going.
Scott lived with her in his condo.
Oh, Jan?
Yes.
Yes,
Jan
she
is
did.
Also one of my favorite. All right. One more.
When she was singing.
Mm-hmm. Which character goes by the nickname of the Nard Dog?
That would be Andy Bernard.
Andy Bernard, ladies and gentlemen. Heather Heil, thank you so much
for
playing. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
You're awesome.
Have a great night.
Heil.
Thank you.
Frank Anderson coming up next. This is Nightlight with Peach Waba on the Civic Media Radio Network. That was fun. Heather Heil, she came out swinging. She did great. But then the questions got tougher. So we're honing this quiz. We'll keep it going. We'll keep perfecting it. And we'll figure it out. Because it's kind of unfair when we ask simple questions. And then they get too tough. Because nobody can be expected to remember this for too long. And it's been a while. No, nobody sits there and studies The Office. Well, Conrad does, because it's still new to him. Hey, tomorrow night on Nightlight, we've got another fun show for you guys. I hope you can join us. My guest tomorrow night will be from Main Streets on PBS, John McGivern. He will be here at 7:35. John's always fun, and he's returning the favor. I was a guest on his show, a former show he used to host when he came to Marinette. That was fun. And John is going to be on my show on Nightlight. That'll be really fun. And also, we're going to talk yacht rock tomorrow night as the new craze in music. They've created a genre. And we'll talk to the lead singer of Yachtly Crew. Conrad, what's his name again? The lead singer of Yachtly Crew. Billy Ocean. I'm giving all kinds of quizzes tonight, and people are struggling. Okay.
Struggling.
So, but let's talk about a Wisconsin genre that is like a treasure here in Wisconsin. It's the official state dance, and it's called polka. And we have just the guy who's going to tell us why polka is our state dance and why it's so great. Frank Anderson from Wisconsinology, one of our favorite guests, joins us. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Pete.
How are you?
What a great day. I'm celebrating National Polka Day. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah.
The crowds are incredible here.
Are you doing the beer barrel polka right now?
No, actually, no. It's both a very happy day and a terribly sad day. Because as we all know, polka is dead.
Is it dead, though, Frank, really?
Completely dead.
Well,
but it had its moment, and what a great moment it had.
So when did it die?
I'll tell you, it peaked with an artist in the late 40s and the early 50s. Rock and roll killed it. The year before rock and roll arrived, Milwaukee imported more accordions than any city in the United States. And then rock and roll hit, and it went down.
Huh.
There was a brief kick up in the early 60s, and then it's been a long death ever since. But that being said, it was so prevalent everywhere. Every town had three or four polka bands, and the polka bars were everywhere. It took a long time for it to reach its current state of, I would say, maybe a shallow breath. If you held a mirror up to it, you might see some vapor. But and that would be Pulaski's Polka Fest, which is fun.
Yeah, it's still huge.
But
there.
if you've seen any polka dance floor, everybody's 90.
Yeah. How do we revive it, Frank? Other than your appearance here
we
on Nightlight tonight,
young people.
Yeah.
We need young people, and you know, polka had kind of had nowhere to go. If you've listened to polka lyrics, they're great. I love them. They're about having a good time, going to some bar, and dancing all night, and making fun of fat people, or I didn't mean that. But one of the most famous polka songs is "She's Too Fat for Me."
Oh my gosh! I forgot about that song.
You forgot about that, but the lyrics had nowhere to go. And if you've listened to polka singers, they weren't exactly the greatest singers in the world. They were just regular guys who could sort of carry a tune.
And they had to shout it over the accordion.
Yeah, but I have something. You know, my favorite polka is not from Wisconsin. It's from Chicago, and it's called the Chicago Push Style, and it gave polka a brief kick in the pants in the early 60s, and it was made famous by Eddie Blazancik and the Versatones.
They sang
in English, and they sang in Polish, and when they sang in Polish and played their really great polka style, look out.
Wow.
It's a pure rhythm machine going there.
You know, my first experience with polka was being in the layup line on the high school basketball team, and the band was playing, and I would hear that song later, and like when I was in college or my early 20s, and be like, what was that song? That was really a fun song. Well, it was Roll Out the Barrel. Or no, it was the Beer Barrel Polka. Da, 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 da,
same thing, yeah.
Yeah, and it was really fun. Polka is fun, but who could do...
It's the most...
Who could listen to it for 3 hours, though, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, I can. but besides that, it's for dancing and being happy. There are no narcissists in polka.
Yeah.
Their job is to take the stage and make you out on the dance floor happy. And it involves every trick in the book. But I've, you know, as a veteran of, you know, 500,000 rock concerts, I've never had more fun than the fun I had at a couple of polka dances that I remember quite well.
It's funny because I didn't really grow up with it. I've talked to people who were DJs at polka radio stations, if you can believe that.
With a last name like yours, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Schwabolka? I don't know. But
no,
they said
Schwaba,
you can't.
Hey, Pete Schwaba.
Are you saying, listen, if you're in, I'm in. If we can form a polka band, I'm down. Because I can carry a tune, buddy.
We violated rule number one. It has to be young people.
Okay, so
we
you and I, Frank,
band.
Years ago, you and I talked about dance halls. I was kind of fascinated by Wisconsin dance halls. They were out in the country, and this is where polka would happen, right? And
correct.
Where do the dance halls go, Frank? Like, there was so many great ones. There was one in Marinette. It's called the Blue Ribbon Casino, and I used to love going past it on my way to Three Lakes. And then it was just gone one day. Why did they tear the dance halls down?
Nobody plays dance music anymore, and people don't go out dancing.
Well, okay, that's kind of a lame excuse, though, don't you think?
It's super lame. And actually, I'm shaming your audience. I'm shaming Wisconsin.
We need to do better.
They need to get back out there and dance.
So why would they name this? It was Tommy Thompson, right, that named the polka the state dance? And that was just in the 90s. That wasn't like too long ago.
In 1994, right. And it comes from a unanimous vote of second graders at a Madison public
Come
school.
Come on, really?
Who were having so much fun doing polka dance for gym class that they wanted it to be National Polka Day, or Polka Day, our official dance being the polka, as it should be. And, Tommy signed it, but it was really bad then. The numbers were declining and nobody had a polka band. A lot of people have joke polka bands.
Joka?
Watch our polka band do Led Zeppelin 1 and 2, right?
Hey, whatever it takes. I mean, to keep it.
No, but that's not what it takes. That makes fun of it. And it takes away from what it is, which is tremendous, tremendous community music.
It brings
everyone together, makes everybody happy. Everybody participates in every song.
It's about community.
None of that narcissist rock crap.
Hey, you're talking about your own language now. All right, my guest is Frank Anderson. I've got questions for him next about his own music and the Pfister Hotel. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabe anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabe. I believe
in miracles. Well, that pretty much confirms what Frank was saying, what Terry just told us about second graders picking our state dance. Frank, my guest is Frank Anderson. He is the founder of the Wisconsinology.com website. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. So much fun Wisconsin trivia, haunted stories, great history, factoids, just really fun stuff about Wisconsin you probably didn't know. Frank, if you could change our state dance, what would it be? The chicken dance?
Change it from polka?
Yeah. You didn't seem like
you were
too keen on that.
That's quite a question. I think I'd have to go with the limbo.
Oh, nice. So everybody gets
it. Nothing to do with Wisconsin.
Right. No, it's just everybody has a chance at a serious injury when they do the limbo.
Yes.
I love it. Hey, so you shared something with us. Frank, for those of you that don't know, is also an incredibly accomplished musician and director of documentaries and films and commercials. And this is one that Frank made 25 years ago. That he was nice enough to share with us, and it's for Summerfest. Go ahead, Conrad.
I think they should cancel rock music and switch over to an all polka music format.
People enjoy polka music, and it's happy music. I don't recall the stages anymore.
The polka pavilion.
Well, there's always big crowds there.
The polka land ballroom.
You see a bunch of people, it looks like a bunch of bouncing balls out there on the floor.
There will be no more rock and roll.
That's so great, Frank. Tell us about that. How fun was that to make?
That was a lot of fun. And it was polka was really slipping at that moment. So I was very happy to do it, anything to keep it out there. And the polka stars of that particular year were backstage lamenting on the lack of an audience at Summerfest for polka.
That's a bummer.
And they were telling me, polka's dead here, man. I make my money down in Texas.
Really?
Well, in Texas, polka's alive and really kicking, thanks to Norteño music, Mexican polka.
Oh,
huge.
Okay.
And only they can save us now. I'm realistically, that's it. So I say, open the borders. We need more polka musicians here in our state.
That is crazy that the same people that give us like salsa music and the rumba and all this fun, and they're now
But you're talking, you know, rumba and salsa, all that stuff. You're talking the islands, you know, the Latinos who are in the islands, the various Caribbean islands. This is Mexico. And they intermingled in northern Mexico with Germans who arrived in late 1840s, 1850s, and Czechs, very important Czechs, because that's where polka music comes from.
Right.
And they adopted it. And what you hear now is, well, not that different. It's their polka music, but it's popular music. It's on all the radio dials. I was just in California, and it's straight across the dial, all the Mexican language stations.
Wow.
And it's happy to hear. And they will save us. I mean, they've already filled all the dead Catholic churches, so come on.
Yeah, they got to save polka.
They're going to save polka.
And putting a lot of pressure on them.
God.
That's hilarious. Well, I do know when I'm at a wedding, like when somebody, like polka is very recognizable. Those first few chords or the accordion, when you hear that, it's like the dance floor is full. I just think people don't want to hear it maybe for 5 hours, but it's so fun, you know.
Oh, they can. My wedding here, I was married in Menasha. And we had a polka wedding, and it went 5 hours or more, easy.
Wow.
And the drummer in the polka band I hired would become a very famous record producer, father of grunge music, Butch Vig.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I have funny pictures of him in a polka shirt, you know, a real ruffly shirt.
Oh, my gosh. So how old was Butch when that happened? How old would he have been?
He would have been 25, I think.
Okay.
26, yeah.
So just starting to produce stuff and or maybe already into it, right? Yeah. For those of you that don't know, they're listening, Butch Vig is the founding member of Garbage. And he and Steve Marker produced Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins all from the Smart Studios right on East Washington and Madison. And now he's kind of a music legend. And Frank hired him to play polka drums. I loved it. That's so great.
He's a great polka drummer, by the way. My in-laws were very happy with his polka drummer.
He's a legend in the Anderson family. Oh, that's fantastic. You have a band, Frank, that I think you said Butch named, but I love... And Butch is such a great interview, too. I mean, he was on my PBS show, and then I got to do a Q&A with him. And hearing him talk about music is like hearing you talk about music. You guys are so knowledgeable. What is your favorite kind of music, Frank, to play?
Hands down, my favorite music to play is rock and roll.
Yeah.
I like dance music, though. I mean, R&B that's strictly dance music, I love it. I need a dance floor and I need it full, which, you know, that relates very much to polka because the audience drives the energy.
Right.
And anything with a beat, anything dance music, I love. And people see the instrument and I play pedal steel guitar and they go, well, that's got nothing to do with that instrument, but I say it does.
Well, that's not true. Yeah. That's so great. And you have a band that you're part of called the Know-It-All Boyfriends. One of my favorite names.
With Butch.
Oh, I think you said Butch named it. I didn't realize he was in it. That's such a great name for a band. The Know-It-All Boyfriends.
So it's two guys from Garbage. One Fountain of Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Freddie Johnston, hit maker from the 90s. Corey Chisel from Appleton. Alex Drosser. A lot of people. A lot of people.
That's so great. Hey, does Killdozer ever play anymore as Killdozer? Are those guys still around?
No, but I'm on their breakthrough album, 12 Point Buck.
Great album.
Yeah. I guess I didn't know this. It's the foundation stone of the grunge movement.
Yeah, I think, did they talk about that in the Smart Studios documentary? Or maybe
yes,
I heard
did.
That from you. Yeah. That song, Lupus, is so, and I told Butch this when we were in the green room at PBS, and I'm like, I said I have that song in my head for 3 days, and it's a great song. But after a while, I said I had to put on some, like, Association or something. Cool the Gang. I had to get that out of that grinding. I'm like, you could totally see where grunge comes from if you listen to 12 Point Buck.
Yeah. And you do need a cleanser.
Well, you need a cleanser for everything, right? So, Frank, all right. So the other thing I love talking to you about are ghost stories. Last night, I was in Milwaukee hanging out at the Pfister Hotel with family who came into town because a family member had passed away. We were all hanging out at the Pfister, and I had the privilege of telling my sister and brother-in-law and my mom and dad that it was haunted. Do you know any of the history behind the Pfister and why it would be haunted?
It just attracts ghosts. I don't know what else to say. Some people have died there. You know, some of the ghosts, they died there. And there are some very dramatic stories of a wedding night that wasn't and things like that. And as usual, all the stories are, it is said that this happened and that happened. But it is to the point that it is so haunted that visiting sports teams who stay in Milwaukee to play the Bucks or the Brewers don't want to stay there.
I've heard that. That is
nuts. Numerous baseball and basketball players are on YouTube detailing their very scary encounter at the Pfister.
Wow. So, I mean, the hotel is built in 1893, I believe, and it's going to have people die there. I mean, it's been around for well over 140 years. So, like, what? Yeah, I don't know.
You can testify. It's a great place, right?
Beautiful.
It's just great.
Yeah.
I love the Pfister personally. I like being put up there when I direct it. And Mr. Pfister himself is a ghost. He's part of the ghostly
Whoa.
Parade. Yeah.
That's so cool. But one of the stories last night, someone was saying, like, one of the waiters said, well, there are stories of the lights flickering. I'm like, wait a minute. You got to do better than that. The hotel's 140 years old.
You got to do a lot better than that. We all know that happens.
It happens in my house. It was built in 1975. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Don't tell me about it. All my lights flicker.
right. Frank, you're the best.
No, I need more than flickering lights. My other one I hate is orbs.
What's that?
Little glowy objects. It's really something that only occurs when you photograph something on a faulty lens or a lens made, or it's a lens aberration. It's dust, but they appear to be, glowing forms that have a mind of their own.
Makes a good
which
story.
Is also known as a draft of air. But yeah, I need way more than that.
You'll appreciate this. So last night we just we ate at a different place. We went to the Pfister and we're hanging out in that lobby in the bar having dessert. We were ordering like Brandy Alexanders and cheesecake and chocolate cake. We got all these desserts. And the waiter, you never know who you're talking to. I said, we're going to want to order dinner soon too. Like after we all had two pieces of cake. This guy gave me the weirdest look. And I was like, man, that guy's got no sense of humor. And as it turns out, he didn't. He went over and he brought menus. Everyone's like, nice going, Pete. You made the guy feel like a real jerk.
Way to go, Pete.
Unbelievable. That's my Pfister ghost story is the joke, a ghost of a joke. So, Frank, as always, my friend, thank you so much for your time. It's always so much fun talking to you on the radio.
Well, thank you for having me. This was a fun time.
As always, my friend, have a great night. Thanks, Frank.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. That is Frank Anderson. Check out wisconsinology.com. And if you watch TV and you watch documentaries, you're bound to see Frank in several of them. He's all over the place, accomplished, incredible musician, director, a showbiz renaissance man, if you will. But definitely check out wisconsinology.com. Conrad, have you been to wisconsinology.com since you've gotten to know Frank?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, it's a really cool site.
What's your favorite thing there?
I just like seeing the like people that are on there that just highlight some people
like
that
the
have
historical
done
figures.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that is really cool. He's got so many. If you like ghost stories, there's some great ones there, and just phenomenal history and great connections to show business in our state that Frank highlights on Wisconsinology as well. So if you're a Wisconsinite and you're proud of your state and you want to know the history, check it out. Tomorrow night on the show, John McGivern will be here from PBS, the hit PBS show Main Streets. He's the host, the high energy host. John is so much fun. And have you seen him, Conrad? You ever watched the show Around the Corner that used to be on PBS?
No.
Oh, it's fun. I bet your folks have seen it. John's a great guy. John was also an actor. He was in the film, I want to say Father of the Bride. I'll have to go to the Google. But he was an accomplished actor, too, before he came back here to Wisconsin and became a TV star. So he'll be along tomorrow night. And we talk Yacht Rock tomorrow night as well. Here's a text that we got from Aunt Carla. She says, my poetry for the night, I love listening to my nephew on Nightlife. I think she means Nightlight. Unless do you have a Moonlight gig on the side, Conrad, or what?
I do not.
Wouldn't it be funny if you're also the producer of a show called Nightlife? She says, my poetry for the night. I love listening to my nephew on Nightlight, but the poetry of the night is Pete, the guests you have, and the wealth of Wisconsin information to get me through the night. Well, that's very nice of you, Carla. Carla seems like kind of a wealth of information herself.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Yeah, definitely.
Very nice of you to say, though, Carla. Glad you listen. I hope you always tune in every night. It's great to have you. And we'll be right back. We're going to talk a little more Jack Nicholson before we get out of here. It's a Monday night. We're barreling through it. We're showing Monday who's boss. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. We are broadcasting statewide all over our beautiful state where polka is king, and we're doing it all from the Green Bay studios here at WGBW at City Deck Landing. So we got some good names tonight. Our question tonight, you got a couple minutes if you guys still want to get in on this. If you could name a sports team, what would the team be called? You can rename a Wisconsin team or a team where you're from. That's fine. But what kind of inspired this question was Utah has a hockey team now, and they are letting the fans make suggestions in bracket style. And you can help name the Utah hockey team. We've had some good suggestions so far. I think my favorites are the Orcas. And why do we say that? Because it was a winter?
Yeah, ice? Because it was, you
Penguins
know,
was taken.
Ice themed. You know, yeah. I looked up the state bird for Utah. It was like, maybe it could be a state bird. And it's the Seagulls.
Ooh.
So the Utah Seagulls hockey.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
There's not a team called the Seagulls anywhere, is there?
I don't think so.
There's the Pelicans.
I don't know if a lot of states have a seagull as their state bird.
Well, and would Utah even have? That's their state bird?
Yeah. Well, it's a California gull. But then I looked a little further and it just says seagull.
Okay. Well, we got orcas, which I like. Polar bears. I think Heather said that. Utah bees hockey.
I like that one.
I like that one too. Yeah. The dots. I don't know why, but I like that. It was polka dots because yeah. Wisconsin. That was your dad, right? Or your mom?
That was Chris Elfheim.
Oh, that was Chris Elfheim. Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Chris. I do like it. Just the dots though, I will say. And the scholars, which is Bridget from the 818 said the scholars. I like that. Promote your intelligence. The overall intelligence of your state. Is Utah a smart state? I don't know. I'll take Bridget's word for it, though. So we have, where do we go? Maybe we should do some more Nicholson tomorrow night. We did talk about The Office a lot. I thought Heather did pretty well on The Office quiz. It started off. Next time we're going to do it in tiers. The easy questions will be up front. If someone crushes that, then we'll introduce the more hard questions. The more difficult questions. So I think that would be a fair way to do it. But right now, we've got some Office clips that I think we should, in honor of Heather's taking our quiz, we should probably celebrate with some Office before we get out of here.
Yeah. I think the first clip is in honor of your favorite.
Toby?
Yes.
Oh, let's hear some Toby.
I can parcel them up and eat them at my leisure later on. Much healthier.
You're taking two?
Yeah, but one of them is for Toby.
Yeah. Why don't you send that to him in Costa Rica?
I'm just going to hand it to him right now.
Okay, weirdo.
Why is that weird?
She said she's going to give it to him right now.
She's probably going to, because they sit next to each other.
Yeah, they used to.
Toby works here again.
Oh, can you imagine?
Oh, no. You don't know.
I don't know. What?
You should probably just meander back there. Take a look, see if he's back.
Dare I?
You know what? I'm going to, for old time's sake.
Great practical joke, Jim. Got me go to the annex. No! God! No! God, please, no! 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 No!
That's so great. It's like the boss thinks he's a comedian and thinks he's being censored by HR, and that's why he hates Toby. My favorite, have you gotten to this one yet, Conrad? Is when Michael Scott, my favorite line from The Office is when Michael Scott says, if I was trapped in a bunker with Hitler, Osama bin Laden, and Toby, and I had a gun with two bullets, I'd shoot Toby twice.
I did.
That's genius. What other Office clip do we have?
Well, in honor of Michael Scott, we can do a Michael Scott one.
What's the Michael Scott one? Do we have to set this up at all?
No, it's just...
Random Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Attention, everyone. Hello. Yes, I just want you to know that this is not my decision, but from here on out, we can no longer be friends. And when we talk about things here, we must only discuss work-associated things. And you can consider this my retirement from comedy. And in the future, if I want to say something funny or witty or do an impression, I will no longer ever do any of those things.
Does that include that's what she said?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow, that is really hard. You really think you can go all day long? Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Michael!
Michael,
please.
There he is.
Please.
Come on.
I think that's so funny because Todd Packer's in the in the back of it, and he gives Michael the little...
Right.
Go ahead. And he does... That's what she said.
David Koechner is one of the funniest character actors. He's just a funny guy. He was in a movie I co-wrote called The Guy Thing. He's in, he was a trucker. What was the name of his band? They used to sing funny songs. But he's in everything. And he's maybe, I know I said Toby, but Todd Packer might be my favorite Office character, fringe character.
He's so funny.
He's great. So, hey, I wanted to ask you, the Bucks are up 1-0, right?
Yep.
How do you like your chances? Give us a little prediction before we get out of here. Let's close with some sports.
Well, they're definitely going to win the series, I feel like.
Yeah.
But it's a tough East this year in the playoffs. You got the Knicks that are really looking good right now. The Cavs. Yeah. It's going to be a hard race for them, I feel like.
Yeah. But you liked your chances. What about against the
Giannis,
Boston?
Giannis is out right now. He's got to get back. And then when I see that team fully, I can give a good prediction, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
What does this mean, this text? Host families, this is from 608.
I think that might be for...
Keep cost at bay for many sports, unless you're talking about Utah hockey.
Yeah.
Maybe Utah doesn't have enough hotel rooms. They put the pro athletes up at people's houses. I doubt that very much. The hosts. The Utah hosts. There we go. We just solved it. That's the new Utah hockey team. Hey, I would like to thank my guests tonight. We had a lot of fun tonight with Heather Hiles. She's always a good sport. She's always fun to have in the studio. Frank Anderson is always a great time. And as always, folks, it's so much fun when you guys interact with Nightlight. I love reading your texts, taking your calls, Always a blast. We'll be back tomorrow night. John McGivern will be here, and we're going to talk some Yacht Rock. On Wednesday, Pat Kreitlow will be here, a fellow Civic Media host. He's always fun, too. Pat's a great guy. That's going to do it for us tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.